Yes, thank you. Well, I was not here last week, but I understand that you are all up in the front. Now all of you have slid back to your comfort zones. But that's fine. Good to see all of you tonight. Glad to have my sister along with us tonight here. She's been in the state visiting us last 4 months, and she'll be here a few more days, a couple more days. She's going back this Tuesday, coming Tuesday. So just can keep her in your prayers while she travels back by herself. Well, we are back in the book of Ruth. I'm sure that we are all enjoying the study in the book of Ruth. And it is a tremendous story. What is the theme you think the book of Ruth? I know last week you went over it a little bit. What do you think? What is the? Okay, good. That is the major theme. God's providence being worked out. What is the difference between providence and miracle? Miracles. Miracles and providence. Miracles. Miracle. Yeah, what is the difference? Okay. Takes time, right? Supernatural, instant. It's suspending all the laws of nature, beyond the laws of nature. The dictionary defines miracle as something which seems to go beyond the known laws of nature and is held to be the act of a supernatural being. Whereas providence is defined as divine guidance and care. The care and the supervision of God over his creatures. So miracle is instant. Jesus walking on the water, it beyond the laws of nature, raising the dead. The laws of nature cannot explain that. The principles of science cannot explain that. Opening the eyes of the blind, healing the lame or the leper. Many miracles in the scripture. It is the work of God. And providence is God bringing all the pieces together so that ultimately his purpose is carried out. And through that, the people get the blessing, the providential care. We cannot, because God is sovereign and his providential care is with us all the time, all the time. And Book of Ruth is an illustration of God in our daily life. God's providential care as he moves his purpose through the lives of people. God's story is woven or written in the fabric of the stories of ordinary people, even in this book of Ruth, written in the lives of people. Does not matter what situation they were, we see God's story through that. So thinking about providence and miracle, many years ago I heard about Chuck Swindoll preaching. And he said a story about a letter he received from a woman. And she said she has 12 children, and she had the first one when she was 32 years old. She got married when she was 31. But she said she never sought a husband. She prayed for a husband, but she never tried to find one or sought one, seek one. But she said what she did in a laughter way, she said that she wrote in that letter that what she did was she hung a pair of pants a pair of trousers at the end of her bed, and she prayed this prayer. Father in heaven, hear my prayer and grant it if you can. I have hung a pair of trousers here. Please fill them with a man. And she said, well, if God was filling a man literally in the trousers, it was a miracle. But God found a man, and she married one when she was 31. And I think Ruth Bell Graham, I told that story to Valia, mentioned that she said Ruth Bell Graham prayed that prayer before she met Billy, but, you know, God filled the trousers, the pants with a full man, Billy Graham, for her. But it probably was written in a humorous way. But anyway, that is a miracle. But in Ruth's case, in chapter 3, we are going to see she's going to find a man, but it is not necessarily the way that God filled an instant, the pants with a man. That was not the way, but God brought all the pieces together to bring a man, a redeemer, into her life. So last week, Jeremy went through chapter 2, and the theme of chapter 2 was gleaning. Right? Gleaning. And you remember you were gleaning some characteristics of Naomi, Boaz, Ruth, and the servant of the servants, and all those things you were gleaning. And that was the theme last week, gleaning. And this week, chapter 3, the theme is redemption. So we can divide this chapter, the pursuit of this redemption and the promise of redemption. But as we're going to look at this chapter, I'm going to look at it in a different way, but that is the truth evolved at the end. The pursuit and the promise of redemption. Now, when you look at chapter 1, we have to see where we are right now. Because this chapter, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, then. So there was something happening. In chapter 1, we see the cloud of darkness is looming over the chapter 1. There was not even a ray of hope in chapter 1. There was this woman, Naomi. Even this happening at the time of Judges, the time of spiritual declension, and hardship in Bethlehem, famine, and some foolish decision led Elimelech and drew Naomi to leave and go to Moab, and they are leaving the house of bread and going to a land with people who are cursed, and ended up, Naomi lost her spouse. She experienced the challenge of being a single mother. She watched their children make foolish decisions. She lost her children. Well, those things can happen to anybody. When we look into the world, we can see those things. And we are not exempted from all those things. Hardships we can face. Our children can make foolish decisions. We can suffer the consequences of those decisions. We ourselves can make foolish decisions. From a covenant relationship with God, and they ended up in Moab. And these are everyday occurrences. We are not exempted. But God, His providence is going to work behind the scenes. There may be a cloud of darkness, in chapter 1. And she's, Naomi is overwhelmed with the losses there. And she says in verse 20 that the Almighty dealt very bitterly with me. Even though she recognized God's sovereignty, she doubted God's sovereignty for a while. She said, don't call me Naomi, delightful. I'm supposed to be joyful, delightful. Call me Mara. Because life dealt me bitterly. She said, the Almighty dealt me bitterly. Her outlook on life was not very hopeful. There was not even a ray of hope, I mentioned, in her perspective of life. But at the same time, what was happening? When this cloud of darkness was above her, when she don't have a ray of hope, she was losing heart, she was depressed, what was happening behind the scene in the providential care of God? God was preserving a Boaz. See, we don't see that sometimes. But in the scripture, we have all the rays of hope we need. But still we can sometimes doubt God's sovereignty, we can lose our hope. That is chapter 1. We see a cloud of darkness over chapter 1. But what do we see in chapter 2? If you read, I'm sure you read last time over that, and you know, as you read chapter 2, there are many rays of mercies bursting through the cloud of darkness. We can see again and again and again the mercy Boaz is showing to Ruth as she found kindness in the sight of Boaz and provision. And in chapter 2, God's providence is preserved this Redeemer kinsman, Boaz, he is coming into the scene. Now he's identified in chapter 2. And God is moving all the pieces there. And was it an accident that Ruth came to the field of Boaz? No. It was the providential hand moved her to the field of Boaz. And we meet the kinsman redeemer here, Boaz, a man of wealth and a man of God, who is able and who is willing, compassionate and caring. In chapter 2, we see that Ruth takes refuge under the wings of God. She is mercifully led into the field of Boaz. And God's kindness, provision, protection through Boaz. Naomi started experiencing God's mercy. Okay. And chapter 2, verse 20, we read, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead. Again, Naomi said to her, this man is our relative, is one of our close relatives. He says, the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead. So Naomi finally recognized the kindness of God. In chapter 1, verse 20, she says, the Almighty dealt bitterly with me. That is replaced by God's mercy and kindness. Now, that's bring us to chapter 3. Now, in chapter 3, she started hoping again because she experienced the mercy of God. The word of God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Because Naomi experienced the kindness and the mercy of God, she started hoping again. Now, in chapter 3, she came up with a plan. Now we can see chapter 3, there are three scenes. One is at the home between Naomi and Ruth. There's a conversation in progress. That's the scene one. The scene two is in the threshing floor where Ruth is going to propose to Boaz. Then scene three is back at home with Naomi. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read verse 1 to 5. That is the plan. We can see in this chapter, as I mentioned earlier, the redemption is as a theme. It is the pursuing of the of redemption as well as the promise of redemption. But in pursuing redemption, there is a plan. And Naomi came up with this plan. We see that in verse 1 to 5. Let me read that. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." She said to her, "All that you say, I will do." Now, Naomi came up with this plan. See, when we are depressed, when we are hopeless, we don't make plans. We don't even want to get up. We don't see any future. We lose hope. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. That is where Naomi was. But now she is see the ray of hope through the mercy of God. Now she is making plan. The plan comes from a vision. When you have vision and from the vision you have the hope in the Lord, from that you get a vision, what you want to do, and you make a plan. Trusting the Lord. That's what she's exactly doing it here. And we can see Naomi is being intentional here, purposeful. She could wait and just go through the life, hoping everything's going to fall into place, but she's being intentional. She is being purposeful. And the effect of depression is that we have an inability to move forward because we lose hope. But plans comes from the hope in the Lord. That's what we need when we see that, when we sometimes, because of the circumstances, if we ever lose hope, feel a little discouraged or depressed, we can always find hope. We need to encourage one another to encourage one another to hope in the Lord. You know, when in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah ran away from Jezebel. He went and sat under a juniper tree and he wants to die. He was depressed. He doesn't want to live any longer. He lost all the hope. But God appeared to him and said, "You get up and go and anoint Hazael as king of Syria and Jehu as king of Israel, and Elisha as king of prophet. Get up and do something." That's what initially God told Elijah to, you know, eat and get strengthened. We need to eat something to get strengthened, then get busy, get doing something. We need to. So that's what exactly Naomi is doing. Because of the hope she has in the Lord, she is making a plan. She's becoming more purposeful. See, the Lord has a great purpose for us in this body, this church the Lord has placed here. But we can just be happy and lucky and go just hoping that everything will fall into place, just go through the routines. But that is not the way the Lord designed us to be. Based on the word of God and the promises of God, understanding the purpose of God, we need to have a vision where we need to go, and we need to be purposeful. We need to make some plans to accomplish that purpose. And that is what exactly Naomi is doing. Now we look at then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I seek security for you?" Now she has a plan towards redemption for Ruth and for herself. But that plan, what is the motivation of this plan? If you look at that verse 1, what do you see as the motivation behind this plan? What is the motivation? Yeah, it is, she says, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you?" So she is seeking, the motivation is love for Naomi. I mean, Ruth. Her love for. Because when you love someone, you want the best of that person. You seek the welfare of that person. This is a beautiful story of love between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, right? We have lots of jokes about mother-in-law and daughter-in-laws, but there is a true love between mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Now, Naomi is not thinking about herself right now. Ruth came to Bethlehem to help Naomi, to be a help to her. And Naomi is not thinking about herself. She's thinking about Ruth. Now, how many of us can say that we have such love for our mother-in-law or our daughter-in-law? You know, there is a beautiful picture of that love, caring for the other person. And the Lord has placed in our life. And these both ladies, one thing we can observe, notice that they love the Lord, both of them. Naomi loved the Lord, and Ruth was infected with that love. Where did Ruth got an appreciation for the Lord? Where did Ruth got that appreciation for the Lord? I believe she got it from Naomi. Naomi was the only Bible Ruth read. And she saw how she took care of, even though there was times Naomi lost hope and doubted the sovereignty of God, yet she had a true love for the Lord. And that was communicated to Ruth, and she has that now. And as Gary mentioned, the goal of this love or this plan that she may have security. In other words, it says she may find rest. She may find rest. What is that means is that Ruth may find rest in marriage, in a husband's home. Okay, rest. Rest. Rest means satisfaction, contentment, fullness, worthiness. And there are lots of adjectives and synonyms we can use. Rest. See, it is the dream of every little girl to get married someday, isn't it? Right? And go into the marriage with great expectation. What do they dream? They dream to be somebody special. Find rest in the arms of her husband, in the home of their husband. Find her worthiness, her value in the sight of her husband. She hopes to be recognized and appreciated by her husband. But many times what happened is all the dream is fall short. Marriage becomes like an alarm clock. You know, it just wakes you up to reality. But how many of our wives, husbands who are married can say that they are finding their rest, their peace, their joy, their contentment? That is what, even though the meaning here it is marriage, but it is spoken as rest. That speaks about another rest which we are going to find in the presence of our Savior someday. That's why marriage is a picture of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to appreciate, that is the rest we need to give it to our wives. Our smile should become the joy of their heart. That's why the valve tells me many times, you should smile more often. I should, maybe I don't smile that much. I should smile more. But it is true that everyone who has been married, we know that none of our spouses can fulfill the other person's expectations. Because we are not. All our expectations cannot be met by my wife. That all our needs and expectations can only be met by the Lord. So that's why, you know, but there is a responsibility we have there too. So the goal of this plan is security. The motivation is the love, the welfare of the other person whom we love. And so this is the plan. She says, now, verse 2, now is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, anoint yourself, put your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he finished eating and drinking. So the plan is that to send Ruth to the threshing floor. Now, we have to understand a few things here. One is that threshing floor is a winnowing place, right? The grains are threshed and winnowed. That is tossed into the air. And the wind blow away the chaff, and the grain is going to fall into the ground. Sometimes it is made like a little hill or maybe raised to flat form and circle, and in the middle the winnowing takes place, and maybe there's a border so the grain won't fall, just roll outside of that here, the raised platform. And the people who work there, they work through the evening into the night, and they sleep there. And Boaz, of course, was sleeping there. And I have seen back in India the winnowing, and I've seen that the grain is thrown up in the air, and two people will stand on both sides with a big, I don't know what it's called, fan-like thing, flat thing made of bamboo, and it is like flat. It's like maybe a foot and a half by foot and a half, and they both stand there and just both sides make like a, create the wind. So the chaff is blown away and the grain falls. Well, anyway, the threshing floor is, that's where Boaz is going to be that night. Now, Naomi had done her homework, okay? At this point, how many months you think Ruth and Naomi were in Bethlehem? It says it's at the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. So it's about end of, it says end of barley harvest is mid-April, and wheat harvest is mid-June. So it's a couple of months they've been there, and she has been gleaning in the field of Boaz for 2 months now. Now the report has been coming from the field about Boaz through Ruth to Naomi, and so it's been a couple of months. So Naomi has been planning for this occasion. She has done some homework. She knew that Boaz is going to be there that night. She knew that she kind of figured out the routine, what happens. So she tells all the details. This is what you need to do. You need to wash. You need to be anointed with some perfume. You need to wear some nice dress. It's like a marriage. She's getting her ready for a marriage proposal. It is just like getting dressing, washed, and anointed, and getting dressed for a marriage. That picture we can see in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8, when the Lord speaks about Israel. Washed you, anointed you, put your garment, because you were, the Lord was in love with Israel at that time. So he speaks about that. So this is the picture we see as Naomi is sending Ruth through threshing floor. Because Naomi had a plan. And sometimes you think, this is the best way to propose a marriage. How many of you, I see many married couple. I don't know how did you do your proposal. I'm sure that some of you got on your knees and asked if you would marry me. And, your wife very gladly said she would. When I be proposed Val and I didn't do any of those things. Okay, we were talking on the phone. I don't know when that happened. Maybe some time we probably mutually agreed over the phone. Okay, we'll get married. That's how it was, because that was not a custom for us. If you were back in India, maybe a few decade back, probably our parents would have decided whom we were going to marry. But that was a different custom, happened different times among different people. But the custom here in Israel at that time was that the woman would go to the prospective prospect, the husband, and remove the skirt or the garment from the feet and lay down and express her desire to marry that person. That is what exactly happening here. Why she has to wait until he's eaten and drunk? She said, we can say that's when she goes to sleep, right? And also he's in a good mood. I think the way to the man's heart is through his stomach. I know you want to say it, but you didn't. Is it true? Well, he is now for some men. He's going to be in a good mood. He's going to, at that time, everyone is laying down to sleep. So that is the time Naomi told her to do that. So Naomi does exactly as, Ruth does exactly as Naomi told her. And Ruth agreed she will do. Now, from her, what we observe, and I observed that, she trusted God, Ruth. Her trust in the Lord is evidenced in agreeing with Naomi, because this midnight maneuver is very risky, right? Very risky. You're going to this threshing floor. There are two schools of thought. One is that this could lead to immorality and sexual relations. And the other school of thought says, no, it's a public place. Everything is open. Nothing is like that's going to happen. I don't know if all those marriage proposals happened in the threshing floor, or it was a custom, I'm sure, but I don't know. But we don't have any other evidence anywhere else to give us more light on this. Other than that, we have something in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8. It speaks about coming under the wings of the care of Lord, and she also trusted Naomi and trusted the Lord, Boaz. Last week, when Jeremy was taking the study, he said, "We need to see all these characters are growing. All these people are growing in their characteristics. We can see that Naomi is growing, and Ruth is growing. See, when Ruth came to Bethlehem, she was not seeking a man. All right. When Ruth came to Bethlehem, she knew she is a Moabite. There is only little chance." Or no chance to find a man or a Jewish man. So she had no hope. She has given the hope of marrying anybody. But as she was in the field of Boaz, she is seeing the kindness and the care and the compassion and the soft way this Boaz, this man speaking to her, and he was a man of God, and every word he says was saturated with godliness, and she fell in love with him. And we don't see the physical aspect or the physical stature of Boaz. Now, he's probably a middle-aged man in the 50s because he calls her daughter. She may be around 25, 26, 27, maybe 25 to 30 years of difference. But we don't know whether he had six packs or a pot belly. We don't know anything about physically that man. But we know one thing. What do we know about Boaz? We know that he was a redeemer, a close relative. And also, more than that is there. And also, she grew in love with Boaz the way he was relating to her. The kindness, the compassion, the words, the soft words, the provision. He was showing mercy after mercy to her. He was truly a kinsman redeemer. And Ruth came to Boaz. So with the proposal, verse 6-2, 13, we can see the proposal. Let me read that. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of the heap grain. And she came secretly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. It happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward. And behold, a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." Now that is the proposal. She went and laid exactly as Naomi told her. In the middle of the night, the man was startled. He just woke up. Maybe was just surprised to see a woman at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" He said, "Who is that? What do you want?" Not knowing who is that. And she said, "I am Ruth, your servant." The respect she gave, the humility she showed, the submissiveness she showed. And she said, "I am Ruth, your maid, for you are the kinsman redeemer. You are a close relative. And now spread your covering over your maid." So now we have a couple of laws coming into place here. The Levirate law from Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5 to 10. We know the Levirate law that if your husband died, then those living brothers who are qualified to marry you and have children, so you can preserve the name of that family. And also Leviticus chapter 25, we can find the redemption of the land. If one among you get poor and sold his land, and a redeemer, a close relative, should redeem that land so that land is preserved in the family. It will not go outside. Now Ruth recognized those things. And based on what is Ruth saying, what is Ruth saying? Ruth is saying, you are the redeemer, the one who can redeem our inheritance and preserve our family name from being lost. I want you to fill that role for me, that role for me. I want to be your wife. That's what basically he's saying. He's proposing marriage. He's saying that I want to be your wife. You are the redeemer who can redeem us. Now, Ezekiel chapter 16:8, we see there's a concept there. Let me read that there for a second. Then I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love, and I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I also saw to you and entered into covenant with you so that you became mine, declares the Lord God. I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. Based on that verse, what Ruth is saying, I would like to be the one to whom you pledge your faithfulness and with whom you make a marriage covenant. That spread your skirt over me. Earlier in chapter 2, Boaz prayed that the Lord acknowledged that she was seeking refuge under the wings of the Lord. That was his prayer. Now, Ruth is asking him to be the agent to carry out that prayer. Be the redeemer who can redeem her and Naomi. So that is the marriage proposal there. She is asking Boaz to be her redeemer, to redeem her and Naomi, because she could have married anybody outside the family, didn't have to go after Boaz. If that's the case, then she will not be able to keep the honor of the Lord, keep the word of God, won't be able to care for Naomi. The name would be lost from her husband's family. The land would have been lost. In order to keep the honor and the integrity and the word of God, she made the decision to seek after the Redeemer, who was lawfully her Redeemer. So, now we can see Boaz's response. In verse 10, then he said, may you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I'll do for you whatever you ask. For all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. And in his response, he promised redemption. He blessed her. He prayed for her. He called her my daughter. Boaz commends her loyalty, showing that your previous kindness, now this kindness is better than the previous kindness. And he commends her character. You are a woman of excellence. In essence, Boaz saying that you are an illustration of Proverbs chapter 31:10. verse 10. An excellent woman, a virtuous woman, is more precious than rubies. How can you find a virtuous woman? Where do you find them? You find them in God because they are lost in God, a virtuous woman and a virtuous man. And that's what she is, a God-dependent woman. And Boaz is a God-saturated man here. And Boaz comforts her, saying that, do not fear. And he gave her a promise, I will do for you whatever you ask. He promised to take action. He made sure that Ruth is taken care of. Now we're told that it is true that I am a close relative, then there's a shock there, a suspense. None of us want this suspense. We want the story to go smooth. All of a sudden, there is a little suspense here. A beautiful story is going to be ruined if the other redeemer, there's another fellow who is more closer than me, Boaz says, and if he emerges as the redeemer, then this beautiful story in our sight is going to be ruined. But Boaz also was thinking about Ruth, so he did his homework, and he said, there is another person. But he said, I'll make sure Ruth is taken care of. At this point, a boss's primary objective is the care of Ruth. Even if the other person is going to marry her, he wants to make sure that Ruth is taken care of. And we can see, and he gave her the promise and told her to lie down until morning and go, because in the night he doesn't want to send her out because there's a possibility of bodily harm. And also, he doesn't want anybody to see her because he wants to protect her reputation. Because if he's not going to marry her, if the other fellow is going to marry her, and he doesn't want anybody to know that this woman came to this threshing floor and was with Boaz. So he's really caring for Ruth. And at the end, we can see verse 16 to 18. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did it go, my daughter? And she told all that the man done for her. She said, the 6 measures of barley gave to me, for he said, do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then she said, wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today. Now, she's back now. There is excitement. There is hope. There is anticipation. And they're waiting patiently because there is a man in mission right now. And he never said he will not rest until this matter is settled. There's a man who is in a mission, and he's going to make sure this matter is settled. And within 24 hours, Ruth became his bride. And we have a man in mission who came to this world as our kinsman redeemer. And he said, my father is always working, and I also am working. Then he cried right on the cross. He said, it is finished. And he prayed in his high priestly prayer, I have brought you glory on the earth by completing the work you given me to do. Our kinsman redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ, finished his work on the cross of Calvary to give us hope, to redeem us, ruined sinners. And he made redemption possible for us, and he's still seeking those who are under the clouds of darkness without hope to rescue them, to give them a ray of hope. And we have those ray of hope, the gospel. And this is a beautiful gospel story. This is a story of redemption. This is a story of great hope. And it's a beautiful love story. So what we have learned is pursuing redemption and the promise of redemption. And we saw the plan and the proposal and the promise of redemption in this chapter. So let us close here and ask the Lord to bless our study. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray for your blessing upon us as we go to homes. We pray that you continue to speak to us, Lord. Your word is precious. Your word is given to us, pointing us towards the Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer, who shown us mercy, who were not worthy, and given us, who were outside the covenant of God, to be made the children of God. So we thank you for this study, and we pray that you continue to help us to live in hope, because we have a Savior, a Redeemer, who cares for us. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.